Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Friday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Radio and today's show, Healing Through Prayer with Corrine Walson. Corrine, take it away.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. Today's topic is faith and courage. And I want to start off by discussing something that happened to me about 7 years ago. I had left a long-term relationship, and the pain from that drove me deep into finding healing from the pain. And I drew closer to God, and I found that I was, you know, reading and praying and was digging deep, looking for answers. And it was a regular weekday. I was at work, and I was meeting a coworker at a Mimi's Cafe for lunch. And when I pulled up, the lunch crowd was gathering, and so I went in. My friend hadn't arrived yet, and I went into the restaurant to give my name to reserve a table. And I noticed, as soon as I walked in, the hostess's face, it had this horrified look on it. And there was a group of people, and they were staring over at this bench where this younger woman was sitting, and she was rocking her mother back and forth in her arms, and she was crying. And I was listening to a conversation. I think it was a store manager, and he said that an ambulance had been called. And there were many customers looking uncomfortable. You know, some of them turned away, and some were staring in morbid curiosity. I didn't know what had happened or what was wrong with the woman, and I kind of figured I should just wait outside. But as I made my way back towards the door, I distinctly heard, "You can heal this." And I knew immediately that God was speaking to me, but the first thought was, "Oh, no." He is not asking me to get involved with this. And my impulse was I wanted to continue walking out the door. But I sat. I sat down on the bench next to the door. You know, I wanted to be obedient, but immediately it was just full of doubt and fear. I mean, there's people everywhere, and they could see me, you know. And I thought, what if I can't help this woman? Or how embarrassing would it be to try and help her and nothing happens? I'd be laughed at or thrown out as a crazy person, right? But I closed my eyes, and I bowed my head, and I began to pray. And I don't even remember what it was that I prayed, but I just began acknowledging God's presence in the room when I heard again, "Go to her." Okay, immediately, again, I was just dread. Oh, gosh, you know, more fear, more doubt. But, you know, he was speaking to me, and I had this willingness to be obedient. I didn't have a game plan, and I didn't know what I was going to say. I certainly didn't know this woman and her mother, and I don't know what church they went to or what faith they were. You know, I didn't have a clue what I was going to do. But I walked over, and I got down on my knees, and I put my hand on the mother's knee. And I just said the first thing that came to me, which was, you know, we are the daughters of the King. You know, he loves you, and you cannot be separated for a moment from this great love. And this younger woman turned and looked at me with her eyes open. You know, she's still cradling her mother, who seemed to be unconscious. And that's when I heard again, her fear is affecting her mother. And all I did was repeat it. I told the younger woman, "Your fear is affecting your mother." And the younger woman responded like she'd had a major revelation. I mean, she gasped and she said, "Oh." And her mother opened her eyes, sat up, and said, "I must have fainted." I turned to the hostess. I said, "She's fine. You can cancel the ambulance." I turned around and saw my friend standing there, and the hostess showed us to our table. To this day, I don't have a clue what was wrong with the woman or what the medical diagnosis was. I don't have any idea what fear this younger woman was harboring that was influencing her mom. But here's what I know. God spoke to me and asked me to work on his behalf. My immediate reaction was, heck no, who am I to do this? I don't know what I'm doing. My God, what if it doesn't work? People are going to laugh at me. That was the serpent's first line of defense in my thought. You know, do those sound familiar? Didn't Moses make the exact same argument to God when God called him to free the children of Israel? I mean, almost verbatim, right?
Mm-hmm.
I chose to be obedient. Even in the face of this overwhelming sense of fear and doubt that crowded my thought, I just sat down and turned to God. And as I sat on the bench with my eyes shut and head down, I just remember thinking that people are looking at me, they're going to see that I'm praying, you know. But I asked God what I should do and heard, go to her. And I was obedient. I went over without knowing what I would say, opened my mouth, and began to say the first reassuring words that came to me about our inseparability from God's love. And then God just shared to me what to say to her, and I just repeated it. I don't know why I repeated it, but that's exactly what she needed to hear. And it healed the woman and her daughter. I mean, I saw the daughter's face light up, and I knew that whatever I'd said to her resonated with her. She got it, even if I didn't, and she had had her aha moment with God and knew what he wanted her to know. And that this change in her daughter, the change in the daughter's thought, released whatever had its hold on her and her mother, and both were freed. I've thought a lot about that experience over the last 7 years. I mean, it was a defining moment for me. And the key to what had happened for me that day was the obedience and faith. In the face of the opposition that the serpent could muster up, I mean, he tried to keep me out of it. Go outside. People are looking at you. This could be embarrassing. What if you don't know enough? I kept being obedient and had faith that it was God who was giving me direction. You know, I knew that wasn't my voice. It was God giving me the direction, and certainly he's going to deliver. God gave me the words to say and did the healing work. And it was Jesus that said, I of my own self can do nothing, and the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. From cleansing a leper to healing the blind to walking on water and raising the dead, all that power came from God. And I'm convinced, you know, when Jesus was walking around, that he never knew day to day who he was going to encounter, what types of ailments, who would be asking him for help. But he did know that when the time came that the Father would do the works, and that he was just simply required to have faith and to be obedient to what the Father wanted him to do.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I have faith. You know, I've heard others talk about their faith, and to an extent, I believe we do. I believe that we'd all agree that if Jesus was standing right in front of us, that if we only touched the hem of his garment, he could heal us instantaneously. We believe Jesus heals. But you just can't skip over what he said in the Bible about our ability. At John 14:12, he said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. Jesus
wow.
knew that we have the ability to do the same healing work he did, and
mm-hmm.
greater works. You know, I got to admit, I can't wrap my head around what greater works he was referring to, but we know what the works he did. We know what he did.
Yep.
And we should be considering this untapped potential that we carry within ourselves. You know, he said we can do the same. So what is it that would keep us from following his example? You know, have you ever felt called to do something but didn't follow through? I'm going to guess it's probably every one of us. And what
yep.
was it that, what was it that held you back? Here's the obvious laundry list that comes to mind. Compliments of Senor Snakey. And for those of you who didn't listen in last week, the serpent is just a seeming power opposed to God that comes to you in the form of your own thought. See if any of these you can recognize. I can't do it. Who am I to do such a thing? What if I fail? This could be really embarrassing. I don't know enough. I don't even have the experience. I'm not cool, smart, pretty, thin. You fill in the blank, enough. Or do you hear your parents' voice? Who do you think you are to try that? You know you can't do that. And as these lies start machine gunning our thinking, doesn't it feel like there's this large, dark mass behind it. You know, it comes with this impenetrable force that backs us down and keeps us small, and it convinces us to go back to what is known and safe. You know, it reasons to us why wouldn't we be much better off just keeping quiet, maintaining status quo and not creating waves. Am I right? I mean, I can see the supposed mass in my mind. There seems to be an army to overcome in order for me to complete my new objective. And oftentimes I've given up. It was a good idea, but I backed down because I listened.
Yes.
Well, it's nothing but the serpent, and he's puffing up, you know, sucking all the air in his belly, trying to get as big as he can. He's like those puffer fishes that blow up when they get scared with all those spiny things sticking out.
Yeah.
When you're about to go higher, when you're gaining courage and momentum to step out in faith and accomplish some good, you can be sure that the serpent is now on high alert and is meeting you at the front lines with all its artillery, all it's got. But this is the cool part. This opposition is not your thought, and it's not from God. There is no real mass behind it, because all there is to it, it's a proposition in your thinking. There is no army or conspiracy against you, because the serpent is a party of one, and the only life the serpent has is the life you give it in your thinking. It can't act or make good on any of its threats unless you grant permission into your thought. It's impotent. It doesn't even have an entity except that which you give it. Anybody out there a Harry Potter fan? I hope so. I'm sorry, but there's like so much great material in those movies. If any of you remember Voldemort, I don't remember which book it was in, but he was being carried around under Professor Quirrell's turban. And Voldemort said, "See what I've become? Mere shadow and vapor. I have form only when I can share another's body." Bloody brilliant. He was powerless until he could find a host or had a body. And it's so true. The enemy in your thought has the exact amount of power that you give it by accepting it, and nothing more. It needs a host. Otherwise, it is, quote, shadow and vapor. And it's completely harmless. So let's work on that, how not to accept the lies and take a stand for the truth, because that's where the healing and the key lies, okay? In Deuteronomy 6:5, we read, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thine soul, and with all thy might." Have you ever considered this last phrase and what it requires? You know, it's kind of at the end. Have you really considered it? This serpent isn't going to give up easily. You know, they call it a stronghold in your thinking for a reason. And to get the victory over the error in your thought, you have to use inner strength, or as some people refer to it, as this intestinal fortitude. When you take a stand, you've got to do it with conviction, authority, and an absolute faith. You know, it's true that you are the child of God. It's true that you are the image and likeness of your Creator. And it's true that you possess all that God imparts to his children, which includes this power to heal and to do what Jesus did. But you can't be timid with exercising this power. You know, you've got to consciously choose not to accept the false picture and the lies and the negative propaganda that you're being sold. You can right then and there, when it declares itself to you, insist on your God-given right, your holy inheritance to do great things with complete confidence, because you know that it's God working through you and on your behalf. In Deuteronomy 20, it reads, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh into the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." Right there is your authority to take on the only enemy there is, the so-called talking snake. You can do it with confidence, knowing it's God that's doing the works. But you can't be afraid or intimidated to take up this cross and do battle. You know, if you shrink back, the serpent wins. And I have found that in every instance, you must insist on it, be convicted of the truth, and declare it over yourselves and others. Otherwise, you're just laying down and allowing every unjust sentence the serpent would impose on you, and it places shackles. Let me ask you something. If you're coming out to your car from your home or work, and you saw that you were getting ticketed for your car, but you were parked legally, what would you do? Okay, I'll tell you. You'd put a big old fuss, right? You'd argue. You'd declare, I'm parked lawfully. What are you doing? I'm innocent. I haven't broken the law. You know, you fight against being ticketed, right? What if someone blamed your child for something that he or she didn't do? You know, watch out. Nothing more frightening than a mama bear that's defending your cub, right? Mm. Well, then why do you sit back and allow these lies and unjust sentences to be handed to you? Why do we just whimper and commiserate about our misfortune? And why aren't we taking the same stand as we would if we were wrongly accused? You can't be a wuss when confronting the serpent. You know, it needs you to sleep or be afraid, timid, or ignorant of your God-given ability. Again, it only survives as long as it can keep you in the dark. And your ignorance is its only lifeline. When you know who and what you are, there is no longer any hiding place for it to live in your consciousness. And you take the only power it had when you see it for the lie that it is. I'll be right back. We need to take a quick commercial break.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
And we're back, talking about faith and courage and standing up to the serpent that poses as your own thought that would keep us small and limited and keep us from stepping out into the ability and power that we have that we just don't seem to be aware of, but that Jesus knew and authorized us to use. We need to take that stand and be bold, you know, fight on your own behalf. This is your life. We've got to rouse ourselves out of the sleep and argue like litigators in the courtroom for our innocence and our God-given ability. Knowing it and fighting for what it is and standing up for your right is two different things. You need to declare and know, you know, you are the child of God. God gave you infinite ability. He gave you perfect health. He gives you an abundant and eternal life. He gives you everything that you need at every moment. He gives you joy. And most of all, He gives you this all-encompassing and powerful love. God is your ability, and He works through us. There is nothing that you can't accomplish when you acknowledge this, God and your relationship to Him. The only thing standing between you and the truth is this formless, powerless lie in your consciousness. But you've given it the reins in your life, you know. You made it your master, or this fear, or this constant negative self-talk. As you listen to it, you believe it, you mull it over, you savor it, and you rehearse it, right? We all do. And you obey it, and you let it rule in your life. You believe it, and you act accordingly. And thus, you get the results in your life. Basically, we're accepting a verdict of guilty based upon false accusations, and the serpent rejoices. Well, no more, enough, it can't act because it has no life, because God is life. God is your life. It can't trick you because it has no mind, because God is mind. God is your mind. You have the mind of Christ now. It has no power to influence you because God is omnipotent, all power filling all space. And God doesn't share His power with another. It can't force you to do anything because God governs the universe and he governs it perfectly. And you are obedient to God as his offspring. It cannot cause inharmony or depression or sadness because God is love. And this love is everywhere and has all power. God's love is loving you and surrounding you. It's closer to you than the air you breathe. This love permeates your very being, and it knows you and cares for you, and it's protecting you, and it's directing your steps. This love is the greatest power of all. It tenderly watches over you, and it delights in you. As you insist on these facts of your being, this serpent is self-destroyed in the light of truth. It literally vanishes back to shadow and vapor, back to its native nothingness. It has no impact on your life. I was just listening to a master class on Oprah's radio station on XM Radio, and she invites the neatest people to come and give talks. And there was this guy on there named Laird Hamilton, and I didn't even know who he was, but he was talking, and he's apparently a world champion surfer, and he was telling his life story and how he got into surfing. And he talked about how surfers tend to get bored, you know, after you've done so many waves, you've done one, you've done them all. And he started talking about something called towing, which is where a boat takes surfers out to these waves that they wouldn't be able to physically catch, like swimming and catch with their arms. But the boat drops them in just in time to catch these enormous, you know, waves. And he was describing the exhilaration and lessons he'd gained from surfing the waves. And he said something that just jumped out at me. He said, "The way people use their fear is what separates people." He described the fearful thoughts that have come to him at certain times and how he fought them down, and that he would have never experienced the highlights of his life if he had succumbed to them. "Ride the wave," is what he said. And it just really impacted me. I mean, the way people respond to the serpent thoughts and fear and suggestions really do sort and classify the kind of experiences that we have. Whatever the seeming human or mortal experience is, however long it lasts, the answers to, you know, why are we here? I don't have the answers to those. But what I do know is I don't want to do this half-heartedly. I don't want to wake up to find that I never scratched the surface of who and what I really am, that I was duped by smoke and mirrors. The experience at Mimi's Cafe proved what can happen when, in the face of fear and doubt, we just choose to keep our focus on God and what he tells us is true. It was a glimpse into reality, really, you know, what lies beyond the mist and shadow. It awakened a new sense of faith in me. The Bible talks about how faith is the evidence of things not seen. You know, since then, I've got this renewed faith, faith in the ability of man, made in the image and likeness of God. You know, not that God is man-like, but that man is God-like, made in his image and likeness. And everything that entails, you know, we are his reflection. We possess what he has given us. And if Jesus says we can do the works he did, you know, who are we to argue? What if we can? What if God expects us to? What if you could? Would you do it? Wouldn't you want to? Listeners, be bold. Step up to the plate and take a swing. Take a step out, even when you can't see the footing, because experience tells me that that step is going to appear after you step out. You step out first, and the footing will appear. Be a testimony to others, you know, empower others by your example. Don't stay small. Don't play insignificant. Don't look back and think, "What if?" Figure out who you are here and now. Why let mist and vapor and shadow define who you are here. What if we could do what Jesus did? When you choose to walk in faith and not by sight, you know, you ignite that in others. You become that light on the hill. And you're going to heal others by your example. I think it was Marianne Williamson that talked about, you know, when you expose your light, you give permission for others' lights to shine. When you see that it's possible in somebody else and you start to question, it's possible in me. But I'm a nobody. I mean, I'm a child of God, but I was a single mom, went through law school. I don't have any huge, great talents. I can't sing. I'm not a great athlete. I can't even do a somersault. So I stepped out in faith, and I was obedient, and I saw something. And it just made me think that we've just got to know that this ability that Jesus says we have is there. And it's threatening to that serpent's very existence. And it's giving us all it's got to keep us ignorant and in the dark.
There's a question from one of the chat rooms that I'm in. And It is when the pain of the apparent situation is on a very high level, and this person has chosen to just do prayer, what advice would you give them as they're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, basically?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if we look at that scripture, we know what that scripture says. But what advice would you give that person as they're walking through the hardest hours?
When somebody is walking through the hardest hours, we talked about this on another show, that you can know without any doubt that love has gone before you, and love is waiting for you, and love is right with you. Like, we know love was in the fiery furnace. We know that love was in the lion's den. And these stories were their darkest, scariest moments. And we have our own personal lion's den. And you can know that right there, where it seems to be devoid of light and of truth, you can insist that there is no place that you can be apart from God's love. And I've also learned that pain, anything painful, can be healed instantaneously when you realize that the pain is fear. When you remove fear from thought, pain goes immediately. There are thousands of testimonies on this point. Remove the fear and you've healed the patient. So knowing that fear is this false evidence appearing real that we've spoken about here this morning, knowing that you can stand up in the face of what's screaming at you right now with the authority that God has given us as his image and likeness, that you can rise above it, you can resist it and rise above it in your thought and replace the fear with love. And it takes you to stand up and have that faith and be convicted and argue on the side of the truth. And when you put more weight in the scale on the side of truth than you do when you look at something and stand aghast at it and fear it and look at the material evidence, when you have more trust and confidence in the side of truth and love, that's when the healing occurs. But you have to argue for your innocence and your perfect health. You have to argue to see it. And you have to back that lie back down using the truth. And I'm hoping that some of the principles that we shared today will help that listener do just that. I'd like to close by saying that I'm excited about what's going to happen as we begin to awaken and take authority over our thoughts and then our lives. You know, the results are going to be on a magnitude that we can't even comprehend at this time. But we can heal ourselves and then begin to heal one another. And I just think, what a day that'll be. I want to thank you for your time and for listening to this program. Again, I'm so grateful that you would take the time to listen. I love you. I'm grateful to you. And I'm looking forward to joining you again next Friday. Have an awesome weekend, everybody. Take care.
Soul Sister Radio.
Get up off your mind. It'll make you feel
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Soul Sister Friday. What an amazing show with Healing Through Prayer with Corrine Walson. Corrine, what an amazing show as I sit here trying to open up my mouth and know that the healing power of Jesus Christ is within me, and everything that you speak and everything that you say is absolutely true. We have guests in our chat room. We have other people in the Facebook chat room that is just bombarding me with a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm hoping that, Corrine, I see you in the chat room if you want to call back. There's other questions that are coming in, but I wanted to take this opportunity because I saw that we still had some time left that I didn't adjust some time, and just really want to send a special prayer out to the hosts of Soul Sister Radio, especially Corrine. If you didn't get the opportunity to hear her show earlier, it is on Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and she's here. She's in the chat room, and she says that she's here. And again, I want to just say thank you so much to our live listeners for joining us. And we are so blessed at the numbers that we are seeing every day as they go up. And we're just overwhelmed with our archive listeners, and it's just a blessing. And Corrine, it's coming on. You're there on again. Oh, now you're off again. So. If you can come back on, that would be great. But our archive listeners, it's so important, and we do see you. And please, we're updating our website so you can connect with us onto Facebook and give us your feedback, where you are calling in from. I don't have information on that, and we would all love to know where our audience is coming from. I know that we do have listeners on the island of Crete in Greece and in the Bahamas, in Canada. We have some in Italy and all through the United States. You're there with us again, Corrine. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm so sorry. I'm sitting here and I'm on this Blog Talk Radio chat, and then I'm also on the phone and I'm muting and unmuting. I'm so new to all of this, I apologize, but at any rate, was there something specific? Somebody had a question, and I dashed off too soon.
No. It's just, actually. And where can they find more information on what it is that you're sharing?
There's a book, and it's called Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, and it was written by Mary Baker Eddy.
And where can they get the information, or can you post that somewhere? Because these are the people that are asking from Facebook, so they're
sure.
On your Facebook page.
Yeah, no, I will put it up on my Facebook page as soon as I hang up here, and, you know, you can Google it, buy it on Amazon. It's in every language. It's all over the world, and people have literally been healed from all sorts of disease and ailments and problems just simply by reading the book. So that's wonderful. Glad that they're searching.
Wonderful. That is so great. And again, I just want to send out a special thank you for everybody that's listening. We will be back on Soul Sister Radio. Is there anything else you would like to say, Corrine? Because you've got people that are listening, and it's so important that we make sure that that they hear you. They want to hear your voice and the things that you are saying, and that's really exciting for me, because every time you speak, it's as if I'm getting my dose of whatever medication that God is giving and instilling in me. And that is something I think, ooh, here's my incoming. There are so many people out there that are desperate to get off of the medication that they are on. And I am telling you, The more that you speak and the more that your mouth can open up and get to those who have an ear to hear, these medications are going to start dropping off of a priority list. It's almost as if it is something that is, it's their anchor, and it is their buoy as well. And it's very confusing to be an anchor and a buoy at the same time. So does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. But I wanted to just say, I think that the whole basis for even doing this show is simply that I have glimpsed, I think we're all in agreement that prayer can heal, you know, relationships and perhaps lead people to the right person at the right time to get a job. That there's all this talk out there about, you know, what really all of this is just manifested thought. Science is saying it now. Lots of people in the spiritual realm at the forefront are talking about it. And I'm sitting here very frustrated in the background because, again, nobody wants to talk about how that same logic, that same reasoning, and that same truth can be extended from healing things such as finding a job, the right home, a relationship, emotional issues, to physical healing. I mean, if it is all thought, of course it can extend to encompass the body. And Jesus was doing it, and he told us to go do it, and his disciples did it. So why are we not doing it? And I have seen healings my whole life. I was raised in this, and it's just this passion because I have a great love just for people generally, and it's wrong for me to sit here with my mouth shut and not say it for fear of being called weird or a cult or crazy. I mean, I know I'm going to get the backlash from people who aren't ready to hear this.
Right.
But just like what I was talking about today, I've got to go forward in spite of it. That's exactly what the world wants me to do. Shut up.
Yeah.
I want to keep people in bondage. I heard, I was at work, and this woman came in late, and she said, oh, the line around the building is 2 blocks long for this flu medication, and there are people in line crying. And I just sat there in my chair, and I said a prayer of gratitude. Thank you, Father, that I've never had to do that. I know, I've always relied on prayer my entire life, and I haven't done that. I don't even know what that's about. And then I just thought, these poor people, you know, they believe their very lifeline and their health is dependent upon medication, and they're panicked, and they're willing to stand in line in the cold to go get this prescription filled. And that's exactly the bondage that the serpent wants to hold everybody in. You know, we're all in fear. We're all amazed at the latest commercials. Have you just tried to see how long you can watch TV without getting hit by the medication?
No,
I can't watch TV anymore.
It's so ridiculous, okay?
Yes. And so because of this great compassion that I feel for these people, I have to stand up and say, there's a better way. There's a way that's divinely your right to choose and to use. It's the one, it's the truth, it's what was revealed and showed to us. Grab onto it, you know. Kick this mortal mind's butt and take hold of, you know, your God-given authority to control your life and your feelings and your health and your prosperity. It's like, God gave us all of this, and we just don't even know that it's sitting there waiting for us with a claim ticket. You have the claim ticket. Go get it. And so that's why I'm doing this. And I don't claim to be just anybody and have all the answers. I humbly pray as soon as I get off this phone, I thank God, and I say, what do you want to say next week? And then I simply listen, and it comes to me, and I put it on paper, and I give it to you guys on Friday. And that's all this is.
And that's all we've been called to be. It's funny because I do the same thing. I don't claim to be anybody. I'm not a therapist. I don't know anything. All I am is a woman walking through, man. Yeah. That's it. Okay.
But look at who the disciples were, Maria. I mean, fishermen, a taxpayer, you know. I mean, these were the most small, humble people, but they were willing. That's what it requires. You know, they said there's wide is the gate and narrow is the way and few there are that walk therein. And, you know, if you feel called and you're humble and you're listening and you want to do God's work, watch out because he'll use you.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, you better be careful what you ask for, man, because
that's right.
If you're going to put me through all this, you better put me in a wide and open space. Wow. That was such probably not the wise thing to say at the moment.
No, but, you know, I mean, Maria, your life is such a testimony. You know, you have a heart of gold. You wanted to help these women. You went through some horrendous circumstances so that you, the compassion, would be established in you to reach out to these others
and to heal this
dark, sinister area, you know, and right there is a huge stronghold, and it needs a warrior in its front, and that's who you are. But when you realize, Maria, that it is not you doing the work, you are obedient, you're out front, we need you there, God needs you there, but the work, open your mouth and let God come through you, Maria. That love is pouring through you, and it's effortless, but he just needs you to be obedient and right at that front line. Your healing is here, Maria. It's right here, and it's yours for the taking. He's using you. Just rest, knowing that he's doing the work. I'm so convinced that therein lies your healing. He does the work. Relax your jaw. Don't be uptight. Let his love flow. Be grateful. Think of how he's carried you in this ministry and provided everything you've ever needed to do all of this. Look at this. We're on internet radio. I don't have the wherewithal to do this. I don't even know. I fully understand how it works. I couldn't afford to do it. Look how he's working. Just have the faith and know.
Here's the incoming. Are you ready?
Yeah, okay. I'm ready.
And we've been walking this path since, what, 2001, you and I?
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
So we have an incredible history and an amazing testimony, and we have walked through some stuff. Okay.
Yeah, out of the dark into the light.
I have been telling you for years, because you have been trying to get me to work with another consultant, we'll call it,
mm-hmm.
at the moment. And I can remember God saying, that ain't going to work.
mm-hmm.
It isn't going to work, Green, because... You know, you sometimes might be the only Jesus someone sees today.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to this part where God has brought so many different people into my life and we're all chosen to walk through each other's path with them for a specific reason, like Rebecca Lawler, her and I walk through the child sexual abuse path together because, wow, we get it, okay?
Right.
You and I have walked this healing path together, and you are the only Jesus that I see in this moment and in this time. So the other consultants or practitioners, we will call them absolutely practitioners,
mm-hmm.
I just couldn't go to them because I wasn't seeing Jesus there. I saw mm-hmm. him because you mm-hmm. believe what you believe, and I knew that it had to come from you, because if I touch your hem when mm-hmm. you're sharing and you're talking and you're teaching and you're believing, even if it's just a little bit of prayers I can get, maybe you can't 100% of your time. Well, neither did he. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
He did not have this practitioner. You know, someone was not, if I believe what I believe, okay, and I believe that you believe, whenever two or more are gathered, he is here, amen, okay?
Your voice is breaking up, Maria.
Okay, sorry, I'm probably too close.
There you go.
Believe that I believe, okay,
mm-hmm.
that what you're saying is true,
mm-hmm.
and just by touching the practitioner's hem, I'm going to be healed, okay?
Right.
So I guess it was confusing when I have to talk to another practitioner. Because mm-hmm. I think all of us are called to be that person. I believe with all that's in me, Corrine, you are called to reach out.
Yeah. You basically summarized today's show. I mean, basically the part in me that said, Maria, I don't know enough I'm not ready. I'm not in the full-time practice like others are, was the serpent in my thinking.
Yeah.
It would keep me small, and it would keep me back and from stepping out into what I know is already true. And you helped me.
And I think that's what was confusing me, because I'm going, wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't need anybody else. I believe you.
Right. Right. And then as we step out and become a light and spread the truth and, you know, own up what we are, it empowers and allows others to do it. And you're right. I am a bridge, and maybe I am the only reflection that you're seeing of this new way of thinking, you know.
Exactly.
And I need to do that, and I appreciate it. I'm humbled by it, and you saw in me something that I was afraid to see in myself, that maybe I had something to say, that maybe God could use me in my mind, you know, that thought of who am I? I'm really nothing, you know. Who am I to think that I could do this? But the key is, and what I acknowledge before every show, this is God's show. This is not personality. This isn't Corrine Walson. Yes, I'm the one talking. But all good is God. All love is God. All I'm doing is allowing it to come through me. I take no credit for this, and all I want to do is to correctly and artfully convey this truth to the listeners so that they can be freed from their fears and step in to who they are. That's the whole gist right there. So I might be, you know, the closest thing that you see to it today, and for that, I'm grateful, but I'm not taking credit. This is all God expressing his intelligence through me to you. And it's awesome. It's awesome.
And I think that's probably why we recognize each other, because, as you know, you've been watching me walk this path for a very long time, and you've seen me hit by the best, okay?
Back away from the radio. Back away from the radio a little bit.
Okay, how's that better?
Yeah, I want to hear what you're saying.
I'm afraid that I'm overcompensating. Okay, here's what's happening right now. Because I'm in pain, okay, when I speak, I'm overcompensating for my voice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me regroup. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You've watched us walk through. You've seen me walk through some incredible things. And you know that you know, and the reason why we recognize each other is because everything good in me that anyone sees is God. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt. I know it like I know your face. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we recognize each other. This is why I know that I know that the stuff that you're saying is true. All the way down to there are no coincidences in life that my legal initials are the same as Mary Baker Eddy. And and again, you talk about this book, and I want everyone to get the book, and I want everyone to open it up and go to the places in the book that you want them to go to, because that is just part of one of the tools that you use along with the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I want you to share that, because just like when I start speaking on law enforcement officer involved domestic violence, Susan now in heaven, but she has left me all of her books. And God bless, you know, Drew Peterson was sentenced to 38 years yesterday. Did you hear?
I did. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And God bless him. Way over there, but I hope to God he lets the world know what happened to his fourth wife now, and that's what I say for her children. But I know that everything this woman, Mary Baker Eddy, wrote in this book is true, and I know just like it's true that it was like the Bible is true, and I've never read the book. And every time you've told me to pick up the book, God has always said, no, you're going to learn the book through.
Yeah. Well, what I'm finding is that, well, first of all, it's really important to understand that Mary Baker Eddy will tell you right in her reading and her writings that the Bible is her only authority. I mean, she just took the spiritual interpretation behind what the Bible is saying and mm-hmm. has explained it. So the Bible is the only place that she went to for her answers. The Bible is the only place that she turned, and she says that right off the bat. There is a deeper spiritual lesson behind the parables that Jesus taught, the stories in the Bible. I'll give you a quick, for instance, when you hear the word house, what like the woman who was running out of things, and he said, what do you have in the house? The house is your consciousness. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, well, it's a show I'm going to be doing on abundance, but just briefly, you know, it's the woman's thinking, the lack and limited thinking, and that she'd have to, you know, kill herself and her sons because they were going to starve because they didn't have enough. And it's, you know, what is there in the house? And she had to get new vessels. You can't put old wine into new wineskins. You have to have new thoughts about God imparting all that you need at every moment, that he's the source of inexhaustible goodness, that it's pouring forth faster than you can even accept. And as your thought changes, as you have new vessels to catch the new thought, the new wine, the new inspiration, that's when the evidence of that thinking comes. Human consciousness equals human experience. So as you turn your thought to those new avenues of thinking, these new ideas turn into job offers, the right person at the right time. Someone offers to take you to dinner. You find money that you didn't previously know that you had. I am not kidding.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an example of taking a literal sense of what's in the Bible and turning it into its spiritual interpretation. And that's all Mary Baker Eddy did. And she was able to heal someone simply by looking at them. She got what Jesus did. She figured it out, and she healed people until she passed on. I mean, it was just, it's an incredible story. But at any rate, I probably take up too much time here. I'm sorry.
You know what? No. This is, again, I left the time on for a purpose, for a purpose. And
okay.
there's 32 minutes left, so wherever God takes us is where, and people keep coming in and out of all the chat rooms, so they're still listening, and I'd rather you continue to speak. And again,
well,
it's, go ahead.
Yeah, well, actually, I am an attorney, and I work from home, and I told them do not disturb between 10 and 11, but that I've got things to get back to at 11. But what I would really love to have happen is if you are listening, and if any of this has sparked any kind of question in your mind, or if there's a topic that you want to talk about, or if you get the book and you see something and you want to discuss it, man, that would be really, really great. I would love the opportunity to know what you're thinking and, you know, let your questions and concerns kind of govern and direct the show. I mean, I know that the inspiration is going to keep coming, and I've still got a ton of ideas, but if there's something pressing or you just have a quick question, send it in. I don't know, how would they do that, Maria? Do they put it on my Facebook? Do they send it to you?
It's facebook.com/healingthroughprayer.
Okay. Yeah, and I'll check it out, and I'm going to put information up about science and health with Key to the Scriptures, and we'll meet again next week. I'm really excited about it. I can't wait to see what he's got in store for us.
Well, good. And the last song I'm going to play as we go out, this one is for you, my beautiful friend. Take the shackles off because my face needs it.
Okay. Love to all of you. Awesome.
I know. Let's take the shackles off. So we will see you next week with Corrine Walton here on Soul Friday, Healing Through Prayer. Thank you. Love you, my soul sister. See you next week.
Bye bye.
Show is hot out here. No, I don't mind though. Glad to be free. You know what I'm saying?
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.